Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm back, baby, baby.
Back now to more of the John Chuckery Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chuckery Show hanging out with you on this Thursday evening. 404-726-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app, so you catch us on the go. Social media, 929 The Game, at JMSH316, at Dom You Are Live is our personal Twitter pages. This year, night look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. So Warren Sharp from Sharp Football Analysis, he's an NFL writer, and they get into some of the analytical stuff and different things like that. He ranked all of his offensive lines in the NFL. So he's got the Eagles at 1, the Lions at 2, Ravens 3, Chiefs 4, Browns 5, Packers 6, Broncos 7, Cowboys 8, and then at number 9, he's got the Atlanta Falcons with the Vikings coming in at number 10. All right, while I understand probably, and again, he didn't really go into more depth on all of this, I'm guessing that's a symptom of the idea of there is some unknown both on the offensive line and as far as pass blocking goes. So the unknown is Matthew Bergeron, who we think is going to be the starter going into training camp, and we'll see, you know, again, how it all shakes out. Camp, by the way, starts 2 weeks from today. Everybody ready? 2 weeks from today, training camp starts. Is everybody ready? Got your helmet on? You get in a 3-point stance, got your dumper down low?
Got all your vacation time out?
Yeah. Yeah, because it's coming to an end. Yeah. So, do I think the Falcons are the 9th best offensive line? No, I think they're better than that. I think the Falcons are a top 5-6 offensive line. I do. I think that Lindstrom is one of the best interior offensive linemen in all of National League football. Jake Matthews is still an above-average player. And Caleb McGarry, you know, again, if you keep him in his comfort zone, he can do some things. I have questions about Dolman, I will fully admit. And Bergeron's an unknown. So, but if this offensive line performs the way that it did last year, they're a top 5 offensive line. And again, they play to their strengths. So, I'm guessing that because of some of the, you know, outside things. I mean, again, this offensive line performed like a top 5 offensive line last year, especially in the run game. They were without question one of the 2 or 3 best offensive lines as far as against the run this past season. You run behind Lindstrom and McGarry, you're going to make hay all day long. And they had a guy that went for 4.9 yards a carry and a rookie that went for 1,000 yards and only seven starts. 3.6 yards per carry after first contact. So they've got that bruising running back, but also they were opening up some holes for that guy. And that's why I think that they are a better offensive line than that. But I can understand slightly some of the questions, you know, whether it's Bergeron, whether Dolman can hold up, if they get into having a pass block, right? That's still the big unknown question about, is McGarry capable to go out there and pass block on a regular basis? I mean, it really is interesting because it's still kind of an unknown entity, right? You know, we didn't see him have to pass block a whole lot last year. And there were times when, you know, it didn't go so well when he did have to pass block. But he was outstanding versus the run. And physically, again, we've talked about this. We talked about this the day they drafted, literally the day they drafted him. If you keep him in a phone booth and he gets his hands on somebody, he's going to move him where he wants to move him. But you get that speed coming off the edge and around the outside, then that's where the problems begin as far as pass protection goes. But in the run game, when he can get on you and put his hands on you and move you where he wants to go, then he's got it. He's got it. So, again, that's part of the big unknown that we get into with Caleb McGarry. All right, the story here from the Falcons about how Bijan Robinson has been impressing his teammates. Here's what Chris Lindstrom had to say through Scott Baer of the Falcons website. Quote, he's a cool thing. He texted the offensive line when he got drafted. He said that he's really happy to work with us. I've only known him for a little while, but he has been pretty amazing around the building. I think all that speaks to who Bijan is and kind of everything he's about. Lindstrom went on to say that he's amazing. You don't pay much attention when you're on the field because you're doing your job, but when you step back and watch, you can see how good he is. He's great. Grady Jarrett talked about him as well. Quote, certain dudes, you can just see the way they move. That's that it's special, the way you carry yourself. He's going to be a heck of a player. He's put so much tape out there already through his college career, but I am sure they are going to have a great plan for him. I don't see him missing a beat. The better he does, the better for the team. So, look, there's no doubt about it that Robinson is a great football player and obviously going to be a guy that has a positive influence off the football field as well. Again, I've said consistently, I don't hate the player. I hate the position that we took him at. Because, again, I don't see that. I see really good running backs. I don't see that fire breather coming off the edge. I don't see that guy coming off the edge that, you know, again, I would love to be able to talk about a guy sacking the quarterback, you know, in these kinds of glowing terms that, you know, again, he's you know, going to be one of the best or this or that or what have you. It's not a knock against Bijan. It's just the reality. You know, when we start talking about why we are where we are, you know, that's kind of one of the things. But, again, we've talked about that ad nauseum because, you know, nobody wants to hear it, but it's the truth, which is usually what happens in life, right? When you tell the truth, nobody wants to hear it. So, all right. Pro Football Focus had their top 10 offensive coordinators heading into the season. Now, this was a very interesting list, I thought. Ben Johnson, the number one offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions. Kellen Moore at number two. Bill O'Brien at number three. Shane Waldron at number four for the Seahawks. Ken Dorsey at five for the Buffalo Bills. Eric Bieniemy at six for the Washington Commanders. Todd Monken at number seven for the Ravens. Matt Nagy at eight for the Kansas City Chiefs. Jim Bob Cooter with the Indianapolis Colts at nine. And Brian Schottenheimer at number 10 for the Cowboys. Now, okay. Let's talk about this for just a second, okay? I know Dave Ragone is the de facto offensive coordinator, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This is Arthur Smith's offense. He calls the plays. This is his offense, mm-hmm. Okay? I'm not taking away anything from Dave Ragone. but it's like being a defensive coordinator for Bill Belichick. It's Belichick's defense. You're not going to do anything that he doesn't want you to do. Because, again, it's his defense. Can I tell you, Pete Carroll's the same way.
Yep.
All that Dan Quinn and Gus Bradley hype and all that hoopla, that was Pete Carroll's defense. It always has been, always will be.
Well, stuff like that. That's why it's funny seeing Matt Nagy's name on that list, because
it's Andy Reid's offense. Right, exactly.
Matt Nagy has nothing to do with it.
And I'm not trying to diminish the role that some of those guys play, but doesn't Arthur deserve some credit for what he's done in the last couple of seasons? I mean, and I understand there's maybe a difference, okay, between the top offensive coordinators and the top play callers. So I had said for years, okay, I thought Sean Payton for years was the best play caller in the NFL. He got more out of vagabonds. I mean, even guys like Marquise Colston, who was a seventh-round draft pick, the Taysom Hills. Like, he always, again, I know he had Drew Brees, but again, he was always an inventive offensive mind. He was a great mind and a great play caller. Now, I think Arthur Smith is a really good play caller. I won't say that he's Sean Payton or Andy Reid great, but when you look at what he's had to work with the last couple of years and getting guys to buy into his system and doing the things that he's done and tying, you know, this system around. Look, had a quarterback that was a turnover machine, and we'll talk about him in 30 minutes from right now, who was a turnover machine, who his lasting memory with the Falcons will be the shot put or the grenade that he launched coming down on the ground against Carolina.
Yes.
That'll be the indelible legacy that Marcus Mariota leaves behind. Is he had that grenade that he threw as he went and as he fell to the ground. And anyway, I think Arthur Smith deserves more credit than this. And I understand. And look, I'm not putting Dave Ragone as a top 10 OC. It's Arthur's offense. Okay. And at the same time, I'm not trying to diminish what he does, but let's get real. Let's be real in it. Again, you know, when you look at this list,
you got Todd Monken on that list, and no disrespect to Todd Monken, like, you just became the offensive coordinator.
Exactly. And again, the last time he was in the NFL as an OC, did he not have Tom Brady? Okay. And again, I know what he did at Georgia. I mean, again, he was one of the best offensive minds, University of Georgia. Sometimes that translates. Sometimes it doesn't.
Ask Chip Kelly.
Right. So, again, before we start anointing Todd Monken, you know, as a top flight offensive coordinator, I got to see it, right? I mean, look, Jim Bob Cooter is a guy who has got a good football mind, but he's coming into Indianapolis. They were a disaster on offense last year.
Yep.
A disaster. And they had personnel. They had a quarterback. They had a running back. They have personnel. They have an offensive line, and they stunk. Is he going to turn that thing right around and all of a sudden make them a top flight offensive team with Anthony Richardson at quarterback? So again, and Bill O'Brien third? Huh?
That's probably the most egregious. Having him that high is like...
And I love Bill. He's a tech guy.
Yeah,
he's
absolutely.
A tech guy, tech man.
But
right?
No, not third.
He's the third best OC in the NFL?
Not a chance in hell. Not a chance in hell.
And again, I'll put it like this. There's probably not a better play caller in the NFL right now than Kyle Shanahan. I mean, Kyle Shanahan and Andy Reid, you know, are the two top play callers. So when we talk about OC versus play caller, that's where the disconnect comes into it, right? Like, that's where, okay, again, if we're talking about the top play callers in the NFL, Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan, top of the list, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But doesn't Arthur deserve to be in that top 10 somewhere when they've had as much success running the football? And again, everybody knows what they're going to do. It isn't a mystery.
Yeah.
Again, they're not going to let Marcus Mariota stand back 45 times a game and huck it all around.
Right.
They're not going to let Desmond Ridder stand back behind the offensive line and huck it around 45 times a game. You know what's coming. And you still can't stop it. And again, there is something to that about your play calling. So I think that Arthur deserved a little bit more love than what he got on a list like this. So, but again, there are some sketchy, questionable names that are on Pro Football Focus's list of all of those things. All right, when we come back, Josh Alper is going to join us, writer for Pro Football Talk. We'll talk some Falcons. We'll talk some NFL across the league with him. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Are you ready? Back with more John.
It's the John Chuckery Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show live on this Thursday evening with you as 2 weeks from today, believe it or not, is Falcons' start of training camp, and it will be officially NFL season and full bore going into it, and then, you know, it'll be here before you know it for the regular season. Let's head out to the waitfor.com hotline. Let's talk to a friend of the show, Josh Alper, joining us, writer for Pro Football Talk. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Josh Alper. Josh, as always, appreciate a few minutes in Atlanta. Thanks for being on the show tonight.
My pleasure.
So let's start with the Atlanta Falcons. You know, as you look at this team, take the quarterback out of it. And I know that's a big, important piece, and obviously, you know, again, a lot is going to hinge on what the quarterback does. But what do you think is the next most important thing that the Falcons have to be better at? What's the thing that stands out to you besides the quarterback that you still either have questions about or concerns about?
Well, I mean, I think it's, you know, you saw what they did, you know, this offseason in terms of free agency and bringing in Ryan Nielsen as the defensive coordinator. I think it's to get better up front at the point of attack on defense. I think that was something where this is a team that wants to run the ball, and you know, we'll see with Desmond Ridder, but you know that they're going to want to run the ball, and you know that leads to playing close games, and it leads to games where you're going to need impactful defensive plays to win week in and week out, and I think there weren't enough of them from that front seven last year, and I think that's the place where it's going to live or die defensively for them, because if they make those plays, they have a good, you know, they have the running game, they have the kicker, they have the pedigree to squeak out a lot of close wins, and those are the teams that wind up in the playoff hunt at the end of the year because they don't play themselves out of games. And so I think that defensive line is of you know, just primary importance, because they're going to need to control possession, control the ball, and that those are the guys that can help them do it.
So Josh, is somebody who watches the Falcons and eats, sleeps, and breathes it all the time. You know, I will say I've been a little bit underwhelmed with Kyle Pitts, and just, again, I know he had the 1,000 yards, but again, 1,026 yards and two touchdowns, and I've had my critiques, you know, about him. As somebody who isn't invested in the Falcons emotionally, tell me your thoughts. Can he be Travis Kelce? Can he be 100 catches, 1,400 yards, a dozen touchdowns? Because I will say, and I will stand by this, that, again, you've got to get that kind of year out of him to really have the full impact of a Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, and look, I think that the physical ability appears to be there, that as a receiver particularly. Now, has that been a great mesh with what the Falcons have tried to do in his first two seasons? Not really. I mean, I think that, you know, you circle back to the quarterback issues, and there's obviously the injury last year, so there's been other factors. But, you know, I think that this year, the idea of having Robinson in the backfield, having Drake London at receiver for the full season with Pitts, having all of those things and those ability to find more and more ways to get him one-on-one and in matchups that he should be able to win, I think especially this year, we'll know if that's the kind of player he can be, because a first-year starting quarterback to have a tight end as a security blanket, that is an ideal, you know, is an ideal situation, and it's one that I have to think that the Falcons are going to be pushing in a big way, because they have a player who, on, you know, third and six, if you can get him singled up on a really anybody, he should be able to win that battle often enough that you're keeping the chains moving.
Josh Alper, writer for Pro Football Talk, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Where do you put Arthur Smith, you know, among NFL coaches? I mean, I'm not looking for a specific number, but is he an upper half coach? I mean, is he a top 10 coach? I mean, you know, given some of the limitations he's had in the roster the last couple of years, where do you kind of put Arthur Smith among NFL coaches?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough to put a guy upper half who hasn't had postseason success and you know, hasn't quite broken through on that. You know, he inherited a team in sort of, you know, sort of falling into disrepair. I think they've done a good job of taking out the pieces that shouldn't be there anymore and bringing in some new pieces. But it certainly hasn't all come together. I think he's not a coach who, they don't coach themselves out of a lot of ball games. They don't seem to make the kind of killer mistakes from the coaching staff that, you know, that you've seen from some other coaches. But I think until you win in the playoffs, it's, you know, it's hard to put you in a, you know, in a category with, you know, in the NFC, you know, the NFC South, there really isn't anybody in that category. But, you know, with a Sean Payton or guys who have won and are in new places, Frank Reich, I guess, has had a little bit of success for the NFC South. But I think that, you know, it's really a division where a coach who's not going to shoot you in the foot is going to come up big. And, you know, I think the Falcons have that. I just don't know if he's a guy who can extend the team past the limitations that the, you know, the talent might put in place.
Josh, you know, let's bounce around the league a little bit. You saw the deal that Quinnen Williams got. More than the deal, though, it is remarkable because it does tell a lot about. I think the stat that I saw is, and correct me if I'm wrong on all of this, but he's only the second first round pick that has been offered or signed a new contract with the Jets over the last decade. I mean, it does speak to, you know, I always talk about the second contract. Like, that, tell me that a guy is going to get a second contract with this team, and then I'll feel like you've hit on a successful pick. But, you know, for an organization like the Jets, I mean, it just kind of sums up about just kind of the ineptitudes when you can't draft really well, you can't draft guys that, you know, been high, and again, every team has their swings and misses, but when you've only had two guys over whatever, it's been a decade or whatever like that, that speaks a lot about to what your organization is.
Yeah, I think it speaks volumes about how wrong-headed the Jets have been and for so much of the recent past. I think that, you know, the good news for the Jets is that, you know, Williams was obviously a hit, and you have guys, you know, the two guys last year, Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner, who look like, at least, you know, you would probably give them a second contract right away if you could, just to ensure that, you know, they're going to stick around before, you know, close to a decade. I think that's what they're looking for, and I think that they've continued to make better, you know, better personnel decisions. The young talent on hand for the Jets last season was very impressive. That, you know, that team with mediocre quarterback play would have made the playoffs, and that's something that speaks to why you go all in when you have a chance at an Aaron Rodgers this year, because you know you have these other pieces. You know it's not a perfect team. No team is perfect. No team has a Pro Bowler, an All-Pro at every position, but you have some real high-end young talent, and they needed a leader. So they went out and got the best possible one they could find on the open market. Is it good? You know, it's anybody's guess how it's all going to work out. It's a killer schedule, a killer division, and a loaded conference. But, you know, it does feel like that with Williams, with Wilson, with Gardner, with some of the other players they brought in, that you know, the worm has turned a bit for the Jets, finally.
We'll see the Jets later on. I think it's first part of December. We'll see them with the Falcons. But give me some kind of idea. I mean, when you look at an Aaron Rodgers, you know, I always get in this discussion with different people. You know, how many wins do you think? I mean, if we take a baseball stat, wins above replacement, how many wins do you think a guy like Aaron Rodgers is worth compared to maybe the average quarterback?
I'd say, you know, 1.5 to 2. I think that if you were to take him over, you know, that idea of a replacement level quarterback, and let's say that, you know, Zach Wilson last season was very much the definition of replacement level. They replaced him the first chance they got. I think that, you know, you put him over there. I think you're looking at, you know, for a Jets team that was 7-10. I think 9-7. Seems like, or 9-8, excuse me. But a winning season, a shot at the playoffs is, you know, very much in the cards. I think he flips that over. I think for a team like the Falcons last season, I think it's pretty similar. I think you had an Aaron Rodgers in Atlanta, and I think you're looking at a team that probably, you know, probably wins that division over the Buccaneers, in all honesty.
Talk to me about what you thought about the comments, you know, from John Gruden, as this thing, it doesn't look like John Gruden is going to take any kind of settlement for the NFL. It seems like that this whole scenario is really going to get down in the muck and mire when all is said and done.
Yeah, and, you know, look, there's the Daniel Snyder involvement, and anything involving him has always been ugly, and this prospect that, you know, that it is related to the sale, and that something could happen there would be a nightmare situation for the NFL heading into the season. You know, and for Gruden, you have a guy who's not going to get another coaching job. I would think he could get back on TV. I think he was a successful personality in the TV game, but he was owed a lot of money. He had a lot of time left on that contract, and who knows what would have come of it in terms of future earnings and stuff. So I understand his his desire to fight this as much as he can. But I do think that it's, you know, it's a situation where, you know, the tarnish isn't going to come off of him no matter what winds up happening with any lawsuits or grievances or anything else. And I think for a coach who was a Super Bowl champion and pretty highly regarded before all of this, it's, you know, it's no way to erase that sad ending for him. And I think that's what he would like more than any amount of money. And it's just not going to play out that way.
Josh Alper, writer for Pro Football Talk, joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. As we're a couple of weeks away from training camp, give me a team or two that you think, I mean, you know, again, the Falcons are kind of in this boat, but a team or two that you think that can go from bad to good and maybe be, you know, a team that turns it around and makes the playoffs.
Well, I don't know that I'll go so far as to say they'll go from bad to good, but I think the Texans can go from bad to capable and competent if C.J. Stroud is as far along as a lot of scouts thought he was in terms of readiness to play in the pros. I think that they've done a nice job this offseason of bringing in pieces that are, you know, familiar with DeMeco Ryans from the 49ers on defense, pieces that, you know, a guy like Robert Woods, who's a, you know, a very capable NFL player, and they didn't have those guys for the last couple of years, and I think it's going to make a big difference. It may only mean 6 or 7 wins, but that would be a significant step in the right direction for Houston, I think. And, you know, and then on the other side, I'm curious to see what these Green Bay Packers really are. I think that there's seeds of a team there that could be better than expected. I am a supporter of the Lions hype. I think the Lions look like the best team in the NFC North going into the season right now. I don't have a real sense of what the Vikings and Bears are going to look like. And I think the Packers could be a sneaky good team if you know, Jordan Love, if all of the guys who are watching him in practice, all of the things that they say and all the positives that they see manifest themselves. I think that the Packers are going to be an interesting, young, different team than we're used to seeing. And saying that they're a 10-win team might be overstating things a bit, but it wouldn't shock me if it winds up being a playoff team.
Josh, last question for you. I'm fascinated to see, and part of it's I grew up in Northeast Ohio, but I'm fascinated to see what the Browns are this year because, you know, they really thought that, whether right or wrong, perception was they thought they had a Super Bowl-ready roster and they just needed a quarterback. Then, obviously, the whole Deshaun Watson thing kind of blew up, you know, and we knew he was going to be out for a while. But you think the Browns can get themselves back on track to being an elite-level team in the AFC? I mean, not that they've ever been there before, but just, again, they have the makings of everything. Well, I mean, offensive line, that fire breather off the edge, running backs, but Deshaun Watson's going to be the real, you know, key to all of this. You think they get back to prominence? You think they get back to being a second round playoff team?
Yeah, I wouldn't be putting money on that right now. And part of the reason is the Bengals, Ravens, and Steelers. It's again that AFC is just going to be so hard to manage this season, where I think you're going to see that there are teams that are going to be better than last year and the records don't necessarily reflect it. And I think you're going to see a team like the Browns. I think this is a massive season for them in terms of it being, you know, fourth year for Kevin Stefanski. It's the first full year now with Watson. So you're expecting that big jump, that big recovery, but it's been 2 full seasons since we've seen that elite level Deshaun Watson play football. And I think anyone would be crazy to say it's a guarantee that it's going to come back. So I just think there are too many uncertainties. But if you look at all of those pieces, and as you laid out, at the Nick Chubb and Amari Cooper and Myles Garrett and all of the other players that they've brought in over the last couple of seasons, I could absolutely see this team being the AFC North champions, but I could also see them being a very competitive 8-9 team because of how hard it is to play week in, week out in the AFC this year. So it's going to be fascinating, and I think that they're a similar boat as you know, team like the Broncos and the Raiders and these teams that weren't in the playoffs in the AFC last year trying to rise up against a conference where you still have the Chiefs and the Bills and the Bengals at pretty high power. Nobody got this demonstrably worse in the AFC, and that's going to make it, I really think, a fascinating race across the board.
Josh Alper writes for Pro Football Talk. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Josh Alper, and he joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Josh, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes in Atlanta. We will certainly chat again soon here as we get toward the training camp and regular season.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
You got it. John Chuck, we will be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
More of the John Chuckery Show
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Thursday night with you. 404-726-0929, that is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We get to What's Bugging Chuckery here coming up in just a couple of minutes. Back with you tomorrow night. We will do Rank 'Em coming up here tomorrow night as we end the week, and we get back into some Braves baseball as they take on the White Sox. And look, it's a series that the Braves should win, potentially sweep. We'll see if the Braves, can stay hot coming out of the break. I mean, these are more bad teams that are coming up on the schedule for the Atlanta Braves, so you got to take advantage of it. And they have so far. I mean, obviously they've been terrific here in the second half. First team to win 60 games. Morton Strider and Kobe Allard will be your three pitchers for the Braves over the weekend here. I was trying to get to the game, actually, Dom. I was trying to get some tickets for the game, but unfortunately we were out of tickets at the station
already.
So.
Yeah,
yeah. So
they go quick.
They do get eaten up, scarfed up. So then they'll have Arizona at home before they start taking on the Milwaukee Brewers in a series. They'll be on the road for all of that. But obviously sitting at 8.5 games up on the Miami Marlins, 12 games up on the Philadelphia Phillies. Let's see. The White Sox right now are 38-54, 8 games back. The only reason they're not in last place is because the Kansas City Royals are one of the disgraceful franchises here of recent memory in baseball. The Brewers are 49-42. They were leading the NL Central for a while there. Then the Reds got really hot. Remember, they had that 12 game winning streak before the Braves ended that. But they've been hot, and of course, Arizona has been one of the real surprises of baseball. They statistically are in a dead heat with the Dodgers. Dodgers are 51-38. The Diamondbacks are 52-39. So a virtual tie. But they've been, an outstanding team thus far. They've been one of the real surprises that they've been able to turn it around as quickly as they have. And they'll come to Atlanta and get swept. That's what these good teams do.
Yeah, that's typically how it's gone this season.
Yeah. I mean, just, they come in red hot, and all of a sudden they'll get punked out of all of it. So, but it will be interesting to see, again, as we, as we head toward, the middle of July. I mean, we're just about there, right? So, Milwaukee, that will close out the month, and then they will have one game on the 31st, which will be very interesting because, dare I say, when the Angels come in, will that be – and Mike Trout's out now, so, again, shocking, he's hurt. But will that be the largest crowds of the year for the Braves to see Ohtani?
I'm sure – well, I remember because they came here last year.
They come here last year?
I feel like they did because I feel like I talked to Andy about going there to see Ohtani. But okay. it may have been either last year or two.
And
years
I don't
ago.
Did Ohtani pitch when they were here?
I think so. I'm pretty sure he did because I remember talking to Andy about it, and I just can't remember if that was last year or 2 years ago. But I know from when I talked to him, he said it was electric seeing.
Yeah, Ohtani. Yeah. I mean that will be you know, probably the Dodgers are the biggest draw right now.
Yeah.
And especially with Freddie Freeman, right? That they're probably the biggest draw. I would think that the 31st, 1st, and 2nd of August, and believe it or not, kids go back to school on August 1st, but I would think that that will be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That might be some of the biggest weekday crowds of the year, maybe the biggest
Absolutely.
Weekday crowd of the year.
Absolutely.
I'll give it to them because of the weekend stuff. But and think about when that series starts, kids are going back to school. Like Cherokee County starts on Tuesday, August 1st. So kids are back in school at that point. So, again, you're not going to get into, you know, probably some of the types of numbers that you've had over the summertime. But I would say for a midweek series, that will be the biggest crowds of the year. Now, Trout, obviously not going to play, and I don't think he's back anytime soon. But just the draw of Ohtani, that's big time. Like, that's a big time thing. So we'll see what happens. A lot of baseball to play before then, but again, the division's over, so it doesn't really matter at this point. We can fantasy book at this point. So, all right, speaking of fantasy booking, let's get to something we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So I like the headline to this, that Marcus Mariota sets the record straight on leaving the Falcons late in the 2022 season after his benching. So the veteran quarterback had his first child around the same time he was benched. Mariota was informed that he'd be replaced by Ritter the day after his daughter was born. Quote from Mariota. So ultimately, it's a long story, really. So during the bye week, my daughter was born, Micaiah. When she was born, Art brought me in the following day. It was like talking about the future and kind of what he wanted to do. And they told me that they were going to play Dez for the last four games. Initially, he had said, at this point and time in the year, the playoffs are a long shot, and we just kind of want to see what Dez can do. And then in a separate segment, okay, head coach Arthur Smith revealed that he and Mariota never talked about the quarterback getting any type of knee procedure done when they discussed Mariota's benching. Quote, when he and I had that conversation, that's not what we talked about. Those are private conversations, but it was more about where we were as a team and as a player and what the future may hold. Now, obviously, he said that he was getting the medical procedure done and surgery and all this good kind of stuff. Quote, I don't know why it had to be that narrative. I gave everything when he's talking about quitting.
Yeah.
I gave everything I had for this team, and I thought I was making good decisions for everybody. Ultimately, we decided that getting my knee fixed was in the best interest. I came home, got my knee fixed, and have been in Vegas. Can I tell you, I don't believe a word that Marcus Mariota says.
Not at all.
I don't believe for a second that conversation was having about, hey, go get your knee done and just sit out the rest of the year. They paid him, did they not?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Didn't release him.
Nope.
They paid him.
Yep.
All right. Look, do I believe that Arthur Smith sat him down and said, look, we want to go in a different direction? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You think Marcus Mariota really thought that the way that he played, that he was going to be the 17-game starter for the Atlanta Falcons with a rookie quarterback on the roster? Knowing what he knows about the league and where he came from.
Yeah.
Where he yeah. came from.
Yep.
Okay. You think that he thought for one second that with the way that he played, because he stunk. He was a bum. Okay? Now, with the way he played, you think that he really thought that he was going to be the 17-game starter until he got hurt, and, oh, yeah, I'm hurt, and I got to get my knee done. And that's a bunch of bunk, bull, and malarkey, and that's not a law firm. That is, to quote the great Sherman T. Potter, horse hockey. Mule fritters. See, this is why you don't roll the dice on these kinds of guys. He was already a bust in Tennessee.
Well, we can resurrect him. And that's what coaches think. Oh, we can resurrect him. When you're a bust, you're a bust. Why would anybody give this guy a starting job ever again unless it's in the CFL or the Arena League? And I'm being dead serious about this. If it's not the Arena League or if it's not the Canadian Football League, why would any NFL team, unless you didn't have anybody else you could sign, that every quarterback in the world said no to your organization, this would be the guy you would sign? There's no reason to bring him in anywhere. I don't care as a backup. Again, he showed you what kind of mentor he was going to be.
Exactly.
He showed you what he thought about mentoring the young guy. Yeah. Oh, you know, again, it was all good conversations when he was the starter.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it was time for him to step aside, let the youngster in there, ooh, my knee. Hey, yeah. He was like this. Ooh, my, he'd be like, ooh, my knee. Ooh, my knee.
And it is interesting in just looking at a parallel to what happened like in Pittsburgh, right? The reason Mitchell Trubisky is still a Pittsburgh Steeler is because, and Mitchell even came out and said that he was upset when they gave the job to Kenny Pickett.
Of course. I got no problem with that.
And that's fine. But what did he do? He sucked it up and understood what his position was.
Right.
And because of that, he's still going to be on this roster. He's going to be a backup. He's still going to be a mentor to Kenny.
You think for 1 second Marcus Mariota could have looked at the way he played. Go, somebody sit him down, okay, in this, what is this thing called? What's this show called?
Oh, the quarterback show that's coming out on Netflix?
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think it's just called Quarterbacks.
Okay. Well, again, he's anything but. So anyway, show him, sit his arse down and show him that shot put play of him lobbing a grenade in Carolina. Just sit him down. You know what? I'll do it. You know what? I'll freaking do it.
On Thursday night, by the way, like prime time.
Yes.
Prime
you know
time
what?
He pulled that off.
You know what? Dom, I'll freaking do it. I'll sit his arse down, and I'll show him that play, and I'll say, you see this? This is why you can't be a quarterback. This play right here is why you can't be a quarterback. When you lob a grenade into a crowd of people, this play is the definition of your time in Atlanta. There is no moment that more encapsulates what his time was here in Atlanta than that grenade lob that he threw as he's going to the turf and going to cover up his head. It's ridiculous. Just, again, you could have just sucked it up. Again, say it was a business decision, right? That's what I wrote for the tees.
Yep.
Just say it was a business decision. I made a decision for my future to get my knee done and leave. Just say it was a business decision. I can respect that.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but I can respect it.
Yep.
It is what it is. Just say it was a business decision and move on. Don't give me all this bunk, bull, and malarkey about, you know, oh, yeah. Anyway. All right. The Falcons have some cap space. Now let's go use it. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
That 365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman. New season streaming November 16th. Only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Now, more of the John Chuckery Show
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Thursday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We get to What's Bugging Chuckery here coming up in just a couple of minutes. Back with you tomorrow night. We will do Rank'em coming up here tomorrow night as we end the week, and we get back into some Braves baseball as they take on the White Sox. And look, it's a series that the Braves should win, potentially sweep. We'll see if the Braves, you know, can stay hot coming out of the break. I mean, these are more bad teams that are coming up on the schedule for the Atlanta Braves, so you got to take advantage of it. And they have so far. I mean, obviously they've been terrific here in the second half. First team to win 60 games. Morton, Strider, and Kobe Allard will be your three pitchers for the Braves over the weekend here. I was trying to get to the game, actually, Dom. I was trying to get some tickets for the game, but unfortunately we were out of tickets at the station.
Already?
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
they go quick.
They do get eaten up, scarfed up. So then they'll have Arizona at home before they start taking on the Milwaukee Brewers in a series. They'll be on the road for all of that. But, you know, obviously sitting at 8.5 games up on the Miami Marlins, 12 games up on the Philadelphia Phillies. Let's see. The White Sox right now are 38-54, 8 games back. The only reason they're not in last place is because the Kansas City Royals are one of the disgraceful franchises here of recent memory in baseball. The Brewers are 49-42. They were leading the NL Central for a while there. Then the Reds got really hot. Remember, they had that 12 game winning streak before the Braves ended that. But they've been hot. And, of course, Arizona has been one of the real surprises of baseball. They statistically are in a dead heat with the Dodgers. Dodgers are 51-38. The Diamondbacks are 52-39. So a virtual tie. But they've been, you know, an outstanding team thus far. They've been one of the real surprises that they've been able to turn it around as quickly as they have, and they'll come to Atlanta and get swept. That's what these good teams do.
Yeah, you know? That's typically how it's gone this season.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, they come in red hot, and all of a sudden they'll get punked out of all of it. So, but it will be interesting to see, you know, again, as we, you know, as we head toward, you know, the middle of July. I mean, we're just about there, right? So, you know, Milwaukee, Boston, that will close out the month, and then they will have one game on the 31st, which will be very interesting because, dare I say, when the Angels come in, will that be, and Mike Trout's out now, so again, shocking, he's hurt, but will that be the largest crowds of the year for the Braves to see Ohtani?
I'm sure. Well, I remember because they came here last year.
They come here last year?
I feel like they did because I feel like I talked to Andy about going there to see Ohtani. But okay. it may have been either last year or two.
And
years
I don't
ago.
did Ohtani pitch when they were here?
I think so. I'm pretty sure he did because I remember talking to Andy about it, and I just can't remember if that was last year or 2 years ago. But I know from when I talked to him, he said it was electric seeing.
Yeah. Ohtani yeah. I mean that will be. You know, probably the Dodgers are the biggest draw right now.
Yeah.
And especially with Freddie Freeman, right? That they're probably the biggest draw. I would think that the 31st, 1st, and 2nd of August, and believe it or not, kids go back to school on August 1st, but I would think that that will be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That might be some of the biggest weekday crowds of the year. Maybe the biggest
Absolutely.
Weekday crowd of the year.
Absolutely.
I'll give it to them because of the weekend stuff. But and think about when that series starts, kids are going back to school. Like Cherokee County starts on Tuesday, August 1st. So kids are back in school at that point. So, again, you're not going to get into, you know, probably some of the types of numbers that you've had over the summertime. But I would say for a midweek series, that will be the biggest crowds of the year. Now, Trout, obviously not going to play, and I don't think he's back anytime soon. But just the draw of Ohtani, that's big time. Like that's a big time thing. So we'll see what happens. A lot of baseball to play before then, but again, the division's over, so it doesn't really matter at this point. We can fantasy book at this point. So, all right. Speaking of fantasy booking, let's get to something we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So I like the headline to this, that Marcus Mariota sets the record straight on leaving the Falcons late in the 2022 season after his benching. So the veteran quarterback had his first child around the same time he was benched. Mariota was informed that he'd be replaced by Ritter the day after his daughter was born. Quote from Mariota. So ultimately, it's a long story, really. So during the bye week, my daughter was born, Micaiah. When she was born, Art brought me in the following day. It was like talking about the future and kind of what he wanted to do. And they told me that they were going to play Dez for the last four games. Initially, he had said, at this point and time in the year, the playoffs are a long shot, and we just kind of want to see what Dez can do. And then in a separate segment, okay, head coach Arthur Smith revealed that he and Mariota never talked about the quarterback getting any type of knee procedure done when they discussed Mariota's benching. Quote, when he and I had that conversation, that's not what we talked about. Those are private conversations, but it was more about where we were as a team and as a player and what the future may hold. Now, obviously, he said that he was getting the medical procedure done and surgery and all this good kind of stuff. Quote, I don't know why it had to be that narrative. I gave everything when he's talking about quitting.
Yeah.
I gave everything I had for this team, and I thought I was making good decisions for everybody. Ultimately, we decided that getting my knee fixed was in the best interest. I came home, got my knee fixed, and have been in Vegas. Can I tell you, I don't believe a word that Marcus Mariota says.
Not at all.
I don't believe for a second that conversation was having about, hey, go get your knee done and just sit out the rest of the year. They paid him, did they not?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Didn't release him.
Nope.
They paid him?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Look, do I believe that Arthur Smith sat him down and said, look, we want to go in a different direction? Absolutely.
Yeah.
You think Marcus Mariota really thought that the way that he played, that he was going to be the 17-game starter for the Atlanta Falcons with a rookie quarterback on the roster? Knowing what he knows about the league and where he came from.
Yeah.
Where he yeah. came from.
Yep.
Okay. You think that he thought for one second that with the way that he played, because he stunk. He stunk. He was a bum. Okay? Now, with the way he played, you think that he really thought that he was going to be the 17-game starter until he got hurt, and, oh, yeah, I'm hurt, and I got to get my knee done, and that's a bunch of bunk, bull, and malarkey, and that's not a law firm. That is, to quote the great Sherman T. Potter, horse hockey. Mule fritters. See, this is why you don't roll the dice on these kinds of guys. He was already a bust in Tennessee. Well, we can resurrect him. And that's what coaches think. Oh, we can resurrect him. When you're a bust, you're a bust. Why would anybody give this guy a starting job ever again unless it's in the CFL or the Arena League? And I'm being dead serious about this. If it's not the Arena League or if it's not the Canadian Football League, why would any NFL team, unless you didn't have anybody else you could sign, that every quarterback in the world said no to your organization, this would be the guy you would sign? There's no reason to bring him in anywhere. I don't care as a backup. Again, he showed you what kind of mentor he was going to be.
Exactly.
He showed you what he thought about mentoring the young guy. Yeah. Oh, you know, again, it was all good conversations when he was the starter.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it was time for him to step aside, let the youngster in there, ooh, my knee. Hey, yeah. He was like this, ooh, my, he'd be like, ooh, my knee, ooh, my knee.
And it is interesting, and just looking at a parallel to what happened like in Pittsburgh, right? The reason Mitchell Trubisky is still a Pittsburgh Steeler is because, and Mitchell even came out and said that he was upset when they gave the job to Kenny Pickett.
Sure, of course. I got no problem with that.
And that's fine. But what did he do? He sucked it up and understood what his position was.
Right.
And because of that, he's still going to be on this roster. He's going to be a backup. He's still going to be a mentor to Kenny.
You think for one second Marcus Mariota could have looked at the way he played. Go, somebody sit him down, okay, in this, what is this thing called? What's this show called?
Oh, the quarterback show that's coming out on Netflix?
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think it's just called Quarterbacks.
Okay. Well, again, he's anything but. So anyway, show him, sit his arse down and show him that shot put play of him lobbing a grenade in Carolina. Just sit him down. You know what? I'll do it. You know what? I'll freaking do it.
On Thursday night, by the way, like prime time.
Yes.
Prime
you know
time
what?
He pulled that off.
You know what? Dom, I'll freaking do it. I'll sit his arse down, and I'll show him that play, and I'll say, you see this? This is why you can't be a quarterback. This play right here is why you can't be a quarterback. When you lob a grenade into a crowd of people, this play is the definition of your time in Atlanta. There is no moment that more encapsulates what his time was here in Atlanta than that grenade lob that he threw as he's going to the turf and going to cover up his head. It's ridiculous. Just, again, you could have just sucked it up. Again, say it was a business decision, right? That's what I wrote for the tease.
Yep.
Just say it was a business decision. I made a decision for my future to get my knee done and leave. Just say it was a business decision. I can respect that.
Yeah.
I don't like it, but I can respect it.
Yep.
It is what it is. Just say it was a business decision and move on. Don't give me all this bunk, bull, and malarkey about, you know, anyway. All right. The Falcons have some cap space. Now let's go use it. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.